Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
2 Timothy 4, verse 5, "But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at bringing others to Christ. Complete the ministry God has given you." Now understand, these are directions, instructions that are being given to a son in the faith from the Apostle Paul to Timothy. And then Paul says, "As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful." I like the King James reading of that because that's what I grew up with, and it does carry with it the idea of fighting a good fight, finishing the race or the course, and I have kept the faith. To the fathers today, if there's nothing else that you hear, I want you to look at this and understand that if we can finish this way, then somehow God has helped us to make it right and finish strong. Because there are many that are involved in a lot of different fights, but they're not in the good fight. There are many that are busily chasing, running, dashing, trying to accomplish and win accolades, but they're not in the right race. And then there are some that have been in the right faith, they've been in the right fight, they've been in the right race, but they haven't been faithful. And I don't know about you, but when I hear of a church closing, a pastor failing, a board member failing, anyone in the body of Christ losing their testimony, because the Word talks about having a testimony inside and outside. And how many of you know that if we don't have a testimony, we really don't have any witness at all if our testimony is lost? And so the way we fight and the way we run should be leading us to a strong finish. This is the will of God. It's the mind of God. And I trust that all of us in this room today, men and ladies, will understand that the goal is to be faithful, that He has kept us, not that we keep ourselves, but that we have remained faithful. Paul says, "And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness that the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that great day of His return. And the prize is not just for me, but it's for all who eagerly look forward to His glorious return." Well, this is Father's Day, and being a father doesn't always come with enough directions. Some of you may have observed that, and I'm conscious of the fact that not only do we have some sons, but also daughters in this room that had fathers in the house, maybe wonderful fathers in the house, but some had damaging, destructive fathers in your home. Or maybe there was not a father at all in your life. I was looking at some papers and just reading some statistics, thinking about fathers and what's going on in our nation today, and preparing for Father's Day, but also preparing for a dear friend that is looking to do some more programming with us on WCNO. His first name is Seamus, and he has a ministry that he calls Dad Up. Dad Up. And he is passionate about seeing fathers restored to the home in America. And so I was preparing to meet with him, and he was well prepared, and so I didn't really need to have any information on my part. But as I was looking at this and thinking about fatherlessness, that is an epidemic in our nation. And you don't have to go to prisons to find young men, older men, or young ladies or older ladies that have not had a father in their life. Unfortunately, even in the church, there are many that have not had a father that was a positive, God-loving example. When you look at these examples and statistics, and I don't need to take a lot of time with it because you're familiar with many of these things, but if you're fatherless, you don't have a dad to celebrate with today unless you have maybe an adopted spiritual father that can provide some kind of covering. One thing we as a men's group on Monday night at time will talk about is the importance of the men in this congregation, and I'm talking to the men, whether fathers or not, as men, that we provide a prayer covering over this congregation. Some of you are married, but you don't have spiritual protection in your families, and you're exposed to all kinds of destructive, divisive, damaging, hurtful, emotional, verbal, and physical abuse. And we as men, I believe, are called to pray a shield over our families as much as we can. We have single ladies, single mothers. We have singles who have tremendous challenges. Sometimes they are financial, and sometimes they're relational, and sometimes maybe they are in other areas of emotional and other needs, and you ladies minister one to another, you have Bible studies, etc. But when I hear of one of our families getting ripped off by some kind of a scam, it angers me. I hate to think that we, as the body of Christ, fall prey to the enemy coming inside of our camp and robbing from us. It hasn't been that long ago that one of our men told me that he had been ripped off, I think it was $12,000. Just this weekend, I received a report, and maybe many of you did as well, to pray that another one of our young men had been scammed out of all of his money that was in the bank. And so when you think about the fact, here's two men, I don't know how much that totals, whether it's a dollar or it's $1,000 or it's, you know, $10,000, whatever it is, when the robber comes in and steals from us, I believe we need to recognize that we need to raise the barrier a little higher. When some of you as ladies are abused and beaten up in your lives or threatened in your homes, we need to raise the banner of prayer and spiritual protection a little higher in our families. And so when we think about the fact that many are uncovered except for the grace of God and the work of God, and of course if you are a widow today, God says that He is your husband. And that's a pretty awesome promise. And God also says that He's a father to the fatherless. And that's a pretty awesome promise as well. So when God says what true religion is and gives us a definition, He actually says that true religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. That true righteousness is a family ministry. It's not individual, just my family, but it's a family ministry. I have to admit that as a young man, when a family close to us with many children, when the husband of the house died that year, and he had had cancer for a long period of time, he was a great carpenter but had not been able to provide for his family, and the lady of the house was working 2 and 3 jobs just to keep clothes on the kids and to keep food on the table. And that first Christmas, when Dad said to us, "Now we're going to be taking our gifts And we're going to be gifting this family because they have nothing. As a child, I thought, well, what right do they have to get my gift? And I was angry when I saw a new bicycle left out in the rain. And I thought, now, if that had been my bike, I would have kept it inside. And years later, God would deal with me and say, this is true righteousness. That we not only take care of our immediate needs, we're obviously taken care of, but it was above and beyond that Dad actually lived an example of caring for the less fortunate and the needy. And I believe, again, the church needs to be a place where all of us have our eyes open, our ears open, and our heart open to share and to minister. Are you all okay with me so far? Amen. So Father's Day is, it's an awesome day. My son started early this week. And Andrew tried to squash me in the couch. And so, Andrew may not say a whole lot of words, but I sit next to Andrew on the couch. And so Andrew just kicked his feet up in the other direction and laid right over on top of me and just pretty nearly pushed the air out of me. And so he actually is affectionate. You just don't always see that. But Andrew made sure that I knew I was loved by giving me a good squeeze. It was much nicer than a python, I'll assure you of that. And then Jay started cooking cakes. Now, you don't know this about my son, so I'll just tell you, he's quite a cook, and a baker. And he can put some things together. And so when I came in the other day, he's like, here, taste this, Dad. And I realized what I was tasting. He and my awesome wife had been working behind the scenes to bring the ingredients together for my favoritest cake that has been my favoritest cake since I was a kid. And Jay gave me a sample taste of those Marchena cherries, and so that was very nice. So he's been cooking, and first thing this morning, I'm glad that Jay doesn't lean on me like Andrew, because I wouldn't have survived this birthday. So thank you, son, for not loving me quite that much as your brother in that way. But he is an awesome son. Both of my boys are awesome sons, and Jay. You know, in the day, I think about when he was a little guy and we'd be in the pool and he'd say, throw me, Dad, throw me. And he was never really small. Of course, we adopted him, so he was like 3 years old at adoption. And at 3 years old, I could still lift him and throw him. But I think by about six, he was trying to lift me up. So I'm glad he doesn't ask me to lift him and throw him to show that, you know, I'm a dad that loves him still. But those of us that can celebrate Father's Day with our father, maybe as my wife was saying, her father's with the Lord, my dad is with the Lord today as well, and probably many of you have fathers that are with the Lord today. I do want to challenge all of you at the beginning of this service to understand that we not only can be blessed and learned from the positive examples from a father or a mother in our life, but we can also learn and profit even from the negative things. And one thing that I learned that was perhaps from a negative side was forgiveness. And I want to say that for any family to be able to exist and have the peace of God, you must learn to forgive. None of us are so good as mothers or fathers that we do not need to forgive one another regularly. And so if you have had some thoughts being triggered already this morning, I want you to just say, and Father, I will forgive anything and everything that the enemy has sought to bring against me, because you're a perfect Father. And we can celebrate that. Amen. And so if you don't have a dad to take out today, you can schedule and take me out on another day, and you know, I'll be your I told you I'm in a goofy mood today. I don't know what's wrong with me, but anyway, no, that would work. And even Jose might go out, not for breakfast, but you know, maybe amen. But in reality, over the years of ministry, we have had dozens and dozens and dozens of kids that didn't have a dad that came to this church. We've fed them. We've taken them on camping trips. We've clothed them. We've taken gifts to their homes. And I believe one day, if not in this life, one day in heaven, we're going to see a lot of those kids. My wife and I, we were talking about the bus kids, because for years before we were doing what we're doing right now, my wife and I both worked with children. We were in children's ministry. And it was great. It was great ministry. And we had youth ministry for a number of years. I was looking at the pictures of some of our guys that are now all grown up when they were a little younger. And looking at pictures on the back porch of our little mountain cabin with, I think we were having lobster stew or something. Where's Nicholas? Is Nick? There's Nick. He can make a really good lobster spaghetti, let me tell you. But I was just looking at those pictures and thinking about how my wife and I have been blessed to be able to connect with many families. And it is a good thing to be open to ministering to children that are without parents in some way. And that doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to have to start adopting or you may have to start a family again. It may mean, as we learn as a church in the days ahead, if Jesus tarries, how we can more effectively reach out and provide some support to either homeless or single parent children in our community. We're praying to know how to do that better. And we've done that in the past. We're looking forward to doing more of that. Well, fatherlessness. 85% of youth in prison grew up in a fatherless home. 85%. That's a lot. That's a high percentage. 80% of rapists motivated with displaced anger. 80% of rapists came from fatherless homes. Are dads important? Dads are important. In studies involving over 25,000 children, looking at data, it's children who lived with only one parent, had lower grade point averages, had lower college preparations, they had poor attendance records in school, and they had higher dropout rates than students who live with both parents. And I'm sure you've heard what I've heard. I've had people, even some relatives, try to convince me that children don't need a father. Yeah, the sons don't need a father. The daughters don't need a father. What a lie of the devil. What a lie of the devil. 3 out of 4 teenage suicides, 3 out of 4 occur in households where one of the parents has been absent. There's a lack of love, a lack of support, and on the statistics go. Adolescent females between 15 and 19 reared in homes without fathers are more likely to be engaged in premarital sex than adolescent females raised in homes with a mother and a father. Well, there's so many statistics that affect the family and impact the family. And all of that takes me to another point in regards to revival. I'd like you to go with me to Malachi. Here we go to Malachi. Hallelujah. Let's go to Malachi. And I want you to look, and you're going to be familiar with this when I read it, I believe. Malachi is the last book in the First Covenant, or the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 4 starts out in that chapter by saying the day of judgment is coming. That hasn't happened yet, but it's coming. The day of judgment is coming. Burning like a furnace, the arrogant, the wicked, will be burned up like straw on that day. Someone has said that this is the day when we are punished and judged by our sins, but we're not under the judgment of God for our sins. I believe that's accurate, but the day is coming. They will be consumed like a tree, roots and all. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise. This is before the Messiah came. These prophetic words are being given. The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. And you will go free, leaping with joy like calves led out to pasture. On the day when I act, you will tread upon the wicked as if they were dust under your feet, says the Lord Almighty. Remember to obey the instructions of my servant Moses, all the laws, regulations that I gave him on Mount Sinai for all of Israel. And then look at verse 5 and 6. Very important verses. Look, I'm sending you the prophet, what's his name? Elijah. I'm sending you the prophet Elijah. Now Elijah, not talking about the Elijah, the first prophet. We're talking about the forerunner of Jesus here. I'm sending you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord arrives. And you know that John the Baptist has come. Jesus said, Elijah has come. That ministry has taken place. And so Elijah, John the Baptist fulfilled that forerunner role as he declared the coming of the Messiah. And so the prophet is saying, I'm sending you the prophet Elijah before the great many. Expect that Elijah's coming back. In fact, the many in the Jewish families would still set the table and say, this is Elijah's seat. And he will come back. God will send him back. But this prophetic word was that before the Messiah, that there would be a forerunner that would declare the way of the Lord. And of course, we know that is John the Baptist. And so it says that he will come before the dreadful day of the Lord arrives. That's the judgment of God. And think about this. This prophecy was long before John the Baptist came, but we are now 2,000 years since he came. And so the judgment that is being foretold has been pending this entire time. His preaching, verse 6, his preaching will turn the hearts of who? Now the NLT says parents. I don't like parents there. It does put into brackets fathers. This is contextually speaking to fathers. That John the Baptist, his ministry was to be a ministry that would turn or change the hearts of the fathers. In what direction? Well, to their children. Now, how are the hearts of fathers going to be turned to their children? What was the ministry of John the Baptist? What did he preach? He preached repentance. And what did he say to those religious leaders that came to him? He said to them to not just come into the water, but to produce fruit of a changed life. Don't just come into the baptismal pool as if this water is going to change you, but come in with a broken heart and a broken spirit and a repentant heart and turn from your wicked ways and turn to God. And as you do that, it will impact the family. Look at this. This is the last verse that we have in the Old Testament or the First Covenant. After this revelation is given, there will be 400 years of silence. The prophet will not speak. The last message of the prophet to be given to Israel is that John the Baptist is coming. His message is going to be, after me, there's one coming that I'm not worthy to even unlatch his shoes. And he will baptize you with fire, right? And the Holy Spirit. And so, what is taking place in this prophetic word? The message is that God is sending a means of salvation for mankind, but he's also sending a means of salvation to the family. To the family. This is why Satan hates our families so much. Because redemption restores love and relationship in the family. It restores the family. And so his preaching will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and What's the result of that? The hearts of the children to their parents. Now, whose hearts are turned first? The fathers. The fathers. So when a nation starts losing its way and begins to drift and lose its direction, the family, if you look at the family, you're going to find that the family is beginning to disintegrate. The marriages are beginning to come apart. The role that God has given to men and the role that God has given to women begins to be broken down. And our nation has been at war. The enemy has been at war, I should say, in our nation against our families for a very long time. And our families have suffered. Our marriages have suffered. And as a result, our children have suffered.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."
Not to us, but to your name alone be all the glory forever. For your faithfulness and steadfast love, receive the glory. The glory belongs to all that we've accomplished, you have done for us. And any fruit we harvest is a gift from your hand. We are only jars of clay that hold a priceless treasure, and we exist to bring you pleasure, oh God. By name, so we glory in the cross of Christ that made us yours forever. Join our lives together to sing.
Belongs to you.